I guess your initial impressions of this Lester deal to Oakland seems to vault them into the realms of, yes, prohibitive World Series favorites.
I think this makes them the absolute World Series favorite. I think you look at what John Lester did last year for Oakland, a 1.56 ERA and 5 postseason starts. I mean, his track record in the World Series is just beyond reproach. It's one of the best ever. That's no guarantee, of course, that he's going to repeat that, but the A's have put themselves in position. I mean, you're looking at a rotation. Their top four guys have season ERAs under 3 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is an impressive move. And if you're an A's fan, this is, you're just in heaven right now, because you've obviously suffered through a lot of close calls, and you've kind of been a little hesitant this year because they've played so well. You wonder if they can do it in the postseason. But to see your front office make moves like this with the stated intention of trying to win a World Series, I mean, as a fan, that's what you want to see.
And there are baseball fans in Oakland. I mean, they don't show up all the time, but when they show up, they are loud. They're passionate. Too bad they play in a horrible ballpark, maybe the worst. Well, I mean, the worst outdoor park, let's say that, in all of Major League Baseball. I think we can all agree the Trop is the worst ballpark in all of baseball. But you agree, right, Ryan? Like, there's no doubt.
Yes, I do agree with that, yeah.
I've been to the Coliseum in Oakland. It's not a horrible place to see a ball game, but it's a football stadium. They play in a football stadium, and when football season starts, it turns into a little bit of a joke of a stadium. But the Oakland A's will be playing well into the fall. I wonder what your thoughts are on Yoenis Cespedes headed back to Boston, because he's a guy who broke into the major leagues and was great right out of the gate, and actually took some walks and hit for power, and the OPS over 800. It's kind of declined a little bit since then, and the on-base numbers are pretty poor. Still had the power, and in a ballpark that it's very difficult to have power in. But I wonder if going to Fenway Park and the Green Monster isn't exactly what he needs in his career.
Well, if you were going to pick a handful of guys in baseball who would benefit, at least theoretically benefit, from having the Green Monster to take aim at, it's a guy like Cespedes, who pulls the ball, has a lot of power that way. Obviously, he has power everywhere, but that's something that, you know, really you look at that and say that he could be a guy that not only hits a lot of homers but a lot of doubles and whatnot, and maybe that helps to raise his on-base percentage, because you're right. I mean, he had a 356 on-base percentage as a rookie. Last year, it dropped down under 300, which is awful, quite frankly, for an everyday player. And this year at 303, it's not that much higher. But I think, you know, you look at, from the A's perspective, they figure that John Lester gives them a better chance of winning in the postseason than a guy who, while he has power, doesn't get on base a lot and strikes out a lot. So, I mean, I think they look at, well, not a lot, but a decent amount.
Yeah.
But I think they look at it as a way to just improve their overall chances of winning. And then when you can, you know, add on to the fact that he's a free agent, he can be a free agent after 2015, it's not like they're giving up a guy they were going to have in the lineup for the next 6 or 7 years, because they weren't going to re-sign him, because he's going to make a lot of money on the free agent market.
Yeah, absolutely. But John Lester is, of course, a free agent at the end of this year. How do the Oakland A's, on a short-term basis, go about replacing Cespedes' ability, his bat, in that lineup? They get Johnny Gomes, but he's a platoon player. I think everybody understands that. Only going to play against lefties, and certainly not the defender that Cespedes is in the outfield. How do the A's replace that bat?
Well, I think that's part of the reason they tried to go out and get trade Tommy Malone, a guy who's had a success in the major leagues, but just clearly had no spot in this Oakland rotation. So they trade him to the Twins to get a left-handed batter in Sam Fuld, who is the defender that they're lacking. Johnny Gomes there, you know, he obviously has great speed out there. He doesn't have Cespedes' arm, but, you know, very few people do. So you have him facing right-handed pitchers and Johnny Gomes facing left-handed pitchers. Maybe that's enough. I mean, it's not going to be 100% of what Cespedes does as a hitter, but they feel that that's enough to make it worth the move to go out and add Lester to the rotation, because that's really what it's all about.
Now, we don't know the full specifics, at least I haven't seen it yet, on that Tommy Malone deal. We're talking to Ryan Fagan of the Sporting News. But if it is just Sam Fuld for Ryan Malone, I mean, Fuld's never really been an everyday player, and when he has, his bat is extremely exposed here. Doesn't that seem like a bit of a steal for the Twins?
It's a very good move for the Twins. I think if you're a Twins fan, you're very happy about this. And actually, I see Jeff Possum of Yahoo just tweeted that it's straight up Tommy Malone for Sam.
Doesn't that seem weird?
I am surprised that they could not get more than that. Fold is a guy that he fits. You know, if you're looking at a platoon, I mean, this is so much a very 1 year type of deal that it's surprising. I mean, not that there was any doubt that Oakland was doing everything they could to win this year. This makes it absolutely certain because, you would have thought that they could have gotten more for Tommy Malone. You know, like I said, a guy who's had success in the majors. But, you know, Sam Fold fits the platoon, what they want with Johnny Gomes. And, you know, that's seems to be what Billy Beane's mindset is right now.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird move. Ben Nicholson-Smith of Sportsnet.ca just tweeting, Twins claimed Fold on waivers in April. Flip him for a pitcher with a career ERA of 3.84 in 468 and two-thirds innings pitched. That is called a nice move for the Minnesota Twins. Now, Kendrys Morales didn't work out all that well, but that one, I mean, turning a guy you picked up on waivers into a guy with a good ERA and major league experience, that's a whole lot of not bad.
Yeah, and club control. I mean, he's a guy that he's, you know, I'm trying to find the number right here, but anyway, he's under club control for at least a couple more years. So, I mean, he's going to be a part of the rotation. He's got a chance to be, you know, arguably the Twins' best starter over the next couple of years. And yeah, if you can turn a waiver wire into a guy that's going to, you know, you feel comfortable giving 30 starts a year for the next couple of years, you feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, and I think his stuff translates well into that pitcher-friendly ballpark in Minnesota as well. Talking to Ryan Fagan of the Sporting News. Now, still plenty more moves to come here on what is apparently going to be a very busy non-waiver trade deadline day. Now, Blue Jays already got lucky yesterday because John Lester didn't start that game, and now there's talk that today's probable starter for the Astros, Jared Cozart, could be very close to being dealt from the Houston Astros. I mean, the Blue Jays running some fine luck, I would say, in the last couple of days.
Yeah, that's not bad when you get a skip playing facing those two pitchers. And, you know, obviously Toronto's playing very well right now. You know, they've moved into kind of a commanding spot in that second wild card, or the chase for the second wild card right now, which is where they want to be. At the moment, you know, obviously you want to get that division title, and I think the division title is so important because you want to do everything you can to stay away from that one-game playoff, because the one-game playoff is such a roll of the dice where we've seen all the time one fluke thing, you know, the pop-up, the infield fly call in the Braves-Cardinals wild-card playoff game a couple
right.
of years ago. I mean, these are just worst-case scenarios. You want to do whatever you can to get out of there, you know, and if you can – If you run into random situations where you avoid facing John Lester and Cozart in a couple of games, you know, maybe that could be enough to make it happen.
Now, the Houston Astros are an interesting case. I mean, they were just unable to sign the first overall pick. And Cozart, I mean, it's not like he's going to be a free agent. He's an aging veteran. He's 24 years old. What exactly is going on with the Astros here? Everybody talking about, oh, they're doing it the right way. They got it figured out. They're going to be World Series favorites in a couple of years. Don't you worry. Just you watch. This is, I mean, another interesting move. If they end up trading away a guy who's just 24 years old, he had an ERA of 1.95 last year in 10 starts. Now, maybe he outpitched his performance there because he had a FIP of 4.35. And if you don't know what FIP is, it's fielding independent pitching. So you kind of take what the pitcher does and you take the fielding out of it. So it was much higher than his actual ERA last year. So maybe a guy who's not nearly as good as his 1.95 last year. But what do you see the Houston Astros doing? It seems like things have kind of hit the skids for them recently.
Yeah, it's been a bad couple of months for them. That draft situation can really best be described as a debacle. It was just, there was nothing good about it. You know, they come off looking like a team that's trying to short a player out of money because of a perceived injury that nobody's really even sure what the injury really is. And then it cost the other draft picks, guys who were healthy. That means they didn't get a sign. You know, it was just a bad situation overall. And then, with Carlos Correa breaking his leg, he's out for the year. Marco Pell struggled so much the last two number one draft picks. It's been bad. And you do wonder with Cozart, you know, because you think, I mean, the only thing I can imagine is there has to be a lot coming back for them to consider trading him, a guy who has that type of, you know, as you mentioned, his age, he's young, the fact that he's under club control for several more years, you would think that's the kind of guy you want to build a rotation around. So you would imagine that it would have to be a big trade return coming back, but it's hard to imagine a big return coming back for Jared Cozart. It just seems like he's the type of guy that you only trading if there's some other reason that we don't know about that, you know, that they would just want to get rid of him and make a change. But it doesn't seem to make sense on the surface at all.
Yeah, there's always that possibility. Talking to Ryan Fagan of the Sporting News, the non-waiver trade deadline going down at 4 o'clock this afternoon. We got you covered on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Mike Wilner down at Rogers Center. Baseball Central coming your way at noon with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. And Ryan, David Price was a name who I think a lot of people thought was out there, especially when the Rays were terrible. They're not terrible anymore. Even when you think, oh, well, he's completely off the table, there were still rumblings that they thought, you know what, we're still listening on him. And I guess everybody's listening on every player. But is he a guy that you think stays put here?
Well, to me, the Rays are just absolutely fascinating on what they're going to do, because there's no more bottom line oriented team than the Rays. There's no team that has done a better job over the last 5 or 6 years of getting absolute peak value for their assets when they've traded. You know, they traded Matt Garza and got Chris Archer back. They traded James Shields and got Will Myers, who won the Rookie of the Year last year, and Jake Odorizzi, who's been amazing over the past 2 months. They're never going to get more for David Price than they will today. You know, after today, his trade value goes down. And it's still a significant trade value, but it's not what it was. I mean, if there's any chance that they were going to get a prospect like an Oscar Tavares from the Cardinals, who's been, you know, connected by a lot of people in possible deals, the really only chance to get him is right now. On the other hand, they have the chance to do something special. I mean, this is a team that's 18 games under 500, is playing lights out over the last couple weeks, really the last month and a half. And if they were to get into the postseason, which is doable in this year's American League East, even though obviously Toronto and Baltimore have been playing better lately, it's a manageable thing. This would be a chance for an all-time great comeback. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that they would write movies about. It's still a big risk to lose the value of trades for Price, and, you know, not to mention Ben Zobrist, who a ton of teams would love to add right now. There's so many teams that need second basemen, that need versatile players, and Zobrist is absolutely that. So it seems to go against everything the Rays have been about the last couple years, the Rays front office, to not make the moves and get deals if they get what they feel is fair value.
Yeah, the Rays right now, 8 games back in the American League East, but as far as the second wild card, just 5.5 back. That is, to me, right in it. Getting back to the AL West, though, Ryan, the John Lester trade for the Oakland A's, I wonder if that just opens the floodgates now. And we know the Angels are having a big bounce back year, and they've got those great bats in the middle of that lineup, and they got a great youngster in Garrett Richards as well. I wonder if they don't look at that John Lester trade and say, uh-oh, we got to do something here. Or is it just a situation where they can't make a move to compete with that rotation of the Oakland A's?
Well, and I think part of it, too, is the Angels don't have a great farm system. They don't have pieces that they couldn't have gone out and gotten John Lester. They don't have the pieces to make a deal for David Price. They don't have the pieces to make a deal for Cole Hamels or Cliff Lee, because the Phillies are asking crazy prices for them, which is a completely other topic. But, you know, if you're the Angels, you're looking at the A's rotation and you realize they might have 4 guys better than your best guy, you know, which is not a comforting situation to go into. You know, and Richards has been obviously very good. You know, he still feels like a bit of an unknown quantity, though, in a breakthrough season. So it's unnerving a little bit, but I'm just not sure what they could do right now, especially the fact that it just happened today. I mean, maybe they try to do something in the waiver portion of the trade deadline, but I'm just not sure what's going to be out there that they could make a move on.